Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. It's the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and fellowship together. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our main text this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I say main because we're going to look at several other selections, but this is the main text that I want you to listen to as I read. 2 Timothy 2:15, and this should be a very, very familiar verse to all of us. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. You know, on several occasions I've mentioned that Jimmy Brooks has preached my sermon at the opening to Sunday school. Well, this morning, Kenny Flynn preached it at Baptist Men. And it was so eerie because it was almost on all four. As they say, when you study the law, they say a case is on all four with another case. And it was almost on all four with all the points in my sermon. You know, during the past several weeks of midweek Bible study on Wednesday, Miss Rebecca has been leading us, the adult group, in a study of different cults and different religions. And it's been fascinating as well as enlightening. And one religion that we studied has been the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the Jehovah's Witnesses organization has published its own translation of the Bible entitled the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. And the interpretation of the Bible that went into this new translation was decided upon by the governing body, which is an entity within the Jehovah Witnesses, who tells the members what the Bible says and what it means. It uses portions of the Bible, this organization does, out of context to validate the teachings and beliefs of the organization. And Ms. Rebecca was telling us giving us an example Wednesday about a pastor who encountered some Jehovah's Witnesses who came to witness to him, and he merely pointed out scriptures in the Bible that they ignored and could not explain, and they went upon their merry way. Charles Swindoll, in his book entitled Growing Deep in Christian Life, writes of Bible or biblical abuse. He views misusing the scriptures so as to mislead others as abusive conduct. Imagine the disillusionment you would experience if you learned that the information you were given from the Bible, which you believe to be true, in fact, was erroneous or not complete or given to you out of context. And further, imagine that the error was the result of a gross misuse of the scripture, that it wasn't accidental, that it was done by someone who had their own agenda. Such conduct would be biblical abuse. And I want us to look real quickly at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right, stood many others. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Now, from this story of Ezra's reading of the word in the book of Nehemiah, Dr. Swindoll suggests four principles for properly using the Bible. Some of them will seem very simplistic. The others may give you pause to think. But the first and most important principle is accurately using the scripture starts with reading it. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? And Kenny was talking about that this morning, keeping it simple when you talk to people about the Bible. But this means you have to read the Bible first. I know a lot of people, myself included, when I first became a Christian as a young man, that you don't read the Bible. You learn the quotes from the Bible. I was in the RAs and I learned, "Go ye therefore into all nations," the Great Commission. We learned other scriptures, Baptist Training Union, BTU. We learned scriptures. I could quote scriptures, but I had not read the Bible. Some people use the Bible to press flowers, to keep records in it of births and deaths. Some people use it to keep recipes in, but they don't read it. God gave us His Word for us to read, and He expects us to read it because nothing is gained or learned by possessing a Bible if we do not read it or read it to our children. Think about that. I was 12 when I accepted the Lord. And although my parents were devout Christians, and I found out late in life, read the Bible at night, we didn't sit down and read the Bible. I got mine from Sunday school, and as I said, for many years until I was a young adult, I could quote you scriptures from the Bible, but I had not read it. In Matthew 12, 1 through 8, we read of Jesus having an encounter with the Pharisees, and they talk about the disciples and how they're laboring on Sunday and gathering food for themselves on Sunday and how that's a violation of the law. And Jesus asked them twice, "Haven't you read the law?" In other words, he was saying, you are supposed to be experts in the law. You are supposed to be the most religious and righteous men of the tribes, and yet you haven't read the Bible. You know the rules that man derived from Moses' law, from my father's word, but you have not paid attention to it. How often have we done that? Have we read the Bible and not paid attention? I remember the first time I attempted to read the Bible through in a year. And I was much more than a young adult then. And I remember reading chapters. And when I finished reading, I no more knew what I read than when I started. My mind was not there. I was not paying attention. My mind was elsewhere. We must read and hear the word. The second principle that Dr. Swindoll says we need to imply to correctly use the Bible is properly using the Word of God involves respect for it. Now, the people we read in Nehemiah where the people stood up as Ezra began to read God's Word. Well, if he read from sunup to noon, I bet it was some tired people in that group that he was reading to. And you know, standing for the reading of God's Word is done almost always in Mexican congregations, if you've ever been to a Mexican service. Some other churches do, but there are other ways to pay respect. And I've noticed this church since I've been here, and I think we do respect the Word of God. That's because you pay attention when I'm reading. Attentiveness is a way of paying respect as well as to standing. But Jesus again confronts these Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. And now they're questioning the conduct of the disciples for eating without washing their hands, for being unclean in a violation of the law of Moses. And Jesus responds to them by pointing out their disrespect for the Word of God. He brings up the commandment, honor thy father and mother, and he says, yet you pervert that commandment from Moses, from my father to Moses, because you say that if a man gives honor to God on behalf of his parents, he has honored them. And he says, that's not what God's word said. That's not what my father's word said. You pervert my father's word. You do not interpret it or use it honestly. We must show respect to God by being honest when we talk about or use the Scripture. We can make the Bible say anything we want to. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I bet some of you in here have read portions of the Bible to your children. You notice I said portions of the Bible. You picked at those things you wanted them, you know, to not to do and to have fear of. And you didn't read the whole context. We shouldn't do that. We should be honest when we use the Scripture. An example appears in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And we, I think, wrongly interpret this verse to mean that God will not give us more grief than we can bear. Remember what it says in that verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And often we say he will not give us more grief or more in life than we can handle. No. If we're honest, the context says he will help us resist temptation. He will not give us more temptation than we can resist if we but try. But we know that God does occasionally give us more grief than we can bear. And I think he does this sometimes so that we will turn to him for love and support. We will turn to his word for love and support, and we will turn to his people for love and support. So show respect for God and his word by using it honestly. Three, properly using the Scripture means explaining it so all can understand. In our text in Nehemiah, we read that the Levites made it clear to the Israelites, to the people, what the Bible was saying. Making it clear can also mean translating it, because if you recall your history, the Jews had been in captivity of the Babylonians for 70 years, and many of the young people had grown up in captivity and were scattered throughout the kingdom, and they did not know the Hebrew language. So the Levites gave meaning to the Scripture. Jesus also gave meaning to the scriptures, and many times to his own disciples who did not understand what he was saying. And he would carefully explain to them. It's my job as a preacher of the Bible, and it's your job as a teacher of the Bible, a Sunday school teacher, or a teacher to your children, or a witness. It's your job to explain it so others can understand it. There again, as Kenny said this morning, just keep it simple. You don't need to know all the theology and all the theologians' views and theories about different aspects of the Bible. Just keep it simple. We need, as a church, to provide an opportunity for people to learn to understand the Bible, and we do that at Sunday school. And that's why I'm such a fan and an advocate of Sunday school, because it gives us the basis, the place to get a good basis in the study of the Bible so we can expand that knowledge as we grow as Christians. You know, Doc made a comment this morning in the meeting about running up against an atheist when he was trying to witness. And the atheists sometimes know the Bible better than a Christian does. So you need to study your Bible to learn it and to follow its commands. That's what a true Christian does. These people that know the Bible but use it only to try to trick us and to get us tied up, they are not obeying the commands that are found in the Bible. And fourth and last, properly using scriptures includes obeying God's commands, as I said. If you look at the example of Ezra and the Israelites, they were told to they returned from captivity back to Jerusalem, and they were instructed not to weep, but to feast. And they did. They reestablished the festival of tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, and used it to commemorate the exodus from Egypt as God had commanded them. They renewed their commitment to God and to His Word. And God expects us today to obey His Word. And this thing of taking parts of the Bible out of context, I think, has gotten Christianity in more trouble than anything else that has presented a challenge to us as a religion. We took it, we picked and choose. We picked what we liked and ignored what we didn't like. We pick the easy things to do and kind of shun the hard things and pretended they weren't a part of God's Word. But God expects us to obey His Word. It's not sufficient just to read the Bible and to know the Bible and to understand the Bible. We must be willing to follow its teachings and its commands. Jesus said, "Those who obey My commands are like the man who built his house upon rock. The winds came and the rivers rose, and it was still standing because it was built on rock. And those who disobey me are like those who build their houses on sand, and the rains come and the winds blow and the waters rise and the houses fall." So it's not just enough to read and forget. We must also obey. There was a painter working at a house in Seattle, Washington, of an elderly lady, and he noticed and commented upon a Bible she had prominently displayed on a coffee table. And she was just so happy he noticed that. And she said, "Oh, yes, yes," said, "that Bible is 116 years old and a precious heirloom." And he commented on how remarkable it was that it was that old. But he added, he said, "You know, it doesn't matter the age of the Bible. It's what's inside that counts." And the lady said, "Oh, I know, that's surely, surely true. Why, we have family records of births and marriages and deaths that go back many, many years. And they're all recorded in this Bible. And if it were destroyed, we don't know how we would replace them." Let's don't have that attitude towards our Bible. Let's see it as our tool to grow in our walk with the Lord and to use as a weapon against Satan and to use as an aid when we are witnessing to others. And if you would like to come this morning and say, I've read God's Word, or I've heard you talk about God's Word, and I want to be a part of His family and to offer myself as His child, then please come and confess your sins and make public your acceptance of Him as Lord and Savior. If you wish to be a candidate for membership by any means that we accept, we'll be glad to talk to you about that if you come forward. As we sing a hymn of invitation, number 321, The Savior.